You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hello guys, and welcome to another episode of the JRE Review. Oh, sorry, I have my mic too close, that was loud. Reggie Watts is the guest today. Good old Reg. Reg was the star of Comedy Bang Bang back in the day. That show is truly a gem. It's so funny, so ridiculous. And now he's on Corbin's show, which is called The Late Night Show, or I don't know, I don't watch any of those late night shows, but yeah, whichever one James Corbin's on, the karaoke guy. I kind of feel like once those guys get to the late night shows, it's not watchable. I don't know who is really enjoying it, and I apologize if you're somebody out there that really loves those shows. To me, it just feels like middle-aged religious housewives feeling like they're being risque with the type of lame-ass jokes and, like, goofy shit that they do on there. I don't know. You know. Strong opinions this morning, I apologize. But anyway, this is podcast 1322. Reggie is one of my favorite weirdo-type, eccentric, genius-type entertainers because, one, he doesn't give a shit. He has, like, that Eric Andre hairstyle that's just, like, it's whatever it is, deal with it, which I love that. I'm sure if I could grow my hair like that, which I can't because I am about as white as a ghost, but if I could, I would totally do that hair. I love it when I see people do that. Also, Reggie has a song that you can look at. You can watch the video on YouTube, but he, like, wrote, produced it. He sings it. And he's just walking down Venice Boulevard, just singing and, like, pointing at people and just... It's brilliant. It's so good. He did a TED Talk as well that's very bizarre, very strange. He almost uses no words. He just says really strange things. And he's just kind of, like, making the point that, like, music and language and rhythm, it's just... It all ties together, you know, and it's kind of like why we like music and singing together, like there's just this rhythmic flow of a message, and he makes a great point kind of explaining that. I believe that's what it is. Don't quote me exactly. Maybe his message was just that he's very clever and he can make a crazy ass TED Talk, but it's nuts. It's so nuts. Even if you don't like TED Talks, I would say watch it. Reggie Watts' TED Talk is so different and so bizarre. I'd love some feedback on it. It's been a long time since I've watched that. Their conversation together was great. They start out just getting baked. Why not? You know, Reggie had some weed. He had a little contraption, I guess, that the rolls the joint. Just kind of, I don't know if it grinds it up, but it basically does everything and just, like, taps it into place, and then you just take the joint out and off you go. Sounded pretty sweet. I'd like to find out more about that device. Joe pulled it up on the podcast, and I think I wrote the name down. I can't remember, but I'd like to check it out. I try not to buy things when they're brand new like that, you know, in a way, and I hate to say it, but I like to let things kind of go to Amazon for a bit and then get some reviews. You know, you just get a real feel for, like, if this thing's a piece of shit or not. I don't know. One thing that Reggie brought up that I had never really thought about, but obviously you notice the difference between, like, 70s music, 80s, 90s, whatever. And, you know, kind of different eras get connected with different types of drugs. You know, I guess you could say the 90s was, like, ecstasy, the 80s was cocaine, the 60s had to be, like, acid, you know. So, like, music changes, and they say it in a way has influence, but how much so? And Reggie was saying that they, like, in the 80s, they, like, tuned the music to cocaine. And then he brought up an interesting point for the Grateful Dead, who were more like 60s and 70s, and they're well known for their love for acid and all the rest of it. He was saying that, I guess their sound engineer, or maybe Jamie was saying this, their sound engineer is also their acid guy. He, like, is the only guy who was legally allowed to make acid for some time. Excuse me. I have a bit of a cold, I think, so please forgive me if everything sounds stuffy. I did my best before I came on. I even bought one of those things called a lavage. Have you ever heard of these? It's kind of like a neti pot, but it looks more like a syringe with a rubber stopper and you fire saline water up your nose. Ugh, feels like you're waterboarding yourself when you do that. I don't know if it's advisable. You know, I'll let you guys know if it actually makes my cold any better. At this point, no. I just feel like I'm full of water and it wants to drain out of my nose at any minute. So, yeah. Oh, and Reggie's not into any kind of rap, which I thought was strange. I always assumed that, you know, being a band leader and a musician and all the rest of it, you'd study all types of music because you're always looking for a little bit of, like, creative energy and something new and exciting to kind of focus you on. But I guess he doesn't like it. He left it in the mid-90s and he's not into the money and the bitches and the buying the cars type energy. He said he likes the beats, but that was it for him. To me, fascinating. We'll see if he gets back into it. But yeah, electronic is his thing. He's an electronic dude. That's kind of something. Obviously, as the weed kicks in, they get a little bit more trippy. Joe talks about... brought up a point about who the first monkey was to pick up a tool or a stone, you know, and use it to kill an animal. Because he was like, wow, before that we had to kill things with our bare hands. And, like, Joe's a hunter, and he's making a modern reference, you know, a modern comparison. And it's an interesting way of thinking. Joe does have a pretty interesting and fairly unique way of formulating his ideas, because that just doesn't generally pop into people's brains. I've never heard that dialogue of someone saying, oh, hunters, I've been hunting with people before, and it's never come up. They're like, oh, imagine trying to take down this creature with your bare hands. I mean, it would be impossible. I'm telling you. You wouldn't even be able to take out a cat very easily. Have you ever picked up a really pissed off cat? A fucking nightmare. It would scratch you to pieces so bad it would barely be worth the meal. You'd be like, you know what? I'm going to be a vegetarian. It wouldn't be easy. Bare hand stuff. I mean, you know, and then the first monkey that wrapped himself in like a leather hide or something to protect himself too from scratches and attacks. I mean, what a jump forward. He might as well have been Iron Man of the past at that point. If you realize you can use a stick, a rock, and wrap yourself in a leather hide, the dude's basically invincible. To some degree. It would have been brilliant. It would have absolutely been brilliant. Then they jump to some great stuff about it, and this gets trippy, just about the universe being infinitely fractal. So you go through a black hole and it takes you to another universe and you can go to the center of that one and that goes to a black hole and you just go on and on and on and on. Obviously, we don't know that. There's no science to back it up. But Joe's point was, but so this whole thing is kind of magic and crazy. Why would that be any more crazy? Like, why would that theory be anything else? I guess my only point to that one is if that's true, then... But doesn't it only seem like black holes suck things in? There's not a lot coming out. I guess there's some sort of quasar energy coming out, but I don't know if that's like reflective of what's going in. But if these things are like the sinkholes of the universe, then doesn't there need to be a place where stuff comes out? And it's not like there are places in our universe where you get the opposite of a black hole maybe a white hole that just dumps energy and matter into our universe. If that was true, then it would make more sense that the black holes are doing the same thing, right? It's just part of a massive drainage system. I don't know. But then what the fuck do I know? I can't even talk on this. I thought it was interesting. Reggie said something cool, that knowing the universe is like shining a flashlight in the ocean at night. And that's a really good way of doing it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever shined a light in a body of water and you try and look around? All the light gets refracted, and depending on the condition of the bottom of that water source, you can't see shit. Maybe a fish like flies by real quick. You have no idea where it came from, where it's going, where it is now. You just saw it for a second. I mean, that's kind of how little we know about what goes on out there. And we, honestly, I think we give ourselves way too much credit. When NASA and space, you know, Hubble and all the space telescopes and our space station, and we talk about what we know up there, we don't know shit. I wish we just said that. We don't have a fucking clue. And what really brings that out is when they talk about looking for the asteroids that are going to hit us. And they're like, we basically only look at about 1% of the sky. 1%? Imagine this, right? Imagine if at any moment you have an opponent in front of you that's going to punch you, or kick you, or headbutt you. And then you have to wear these special kinds of glasses that allow you to only see 1% of this person at any given time. Dude, that person is going to fucking light you up. You have zero chance of defending yourself. Well, you could just put your guard up, you know, like watch your chin, tense your stomach. It would probably be more beneficial just to curl up into a ball. But the point is, you have no idea where the attack's coming from. So what does that say about our planet? We just surround it in shields? I mean, it sounds like the only thing we could do at this point. Impossible to know. Impossible to know. But again, this is their high talk. They got high as fuck. This is the direction they went. And you gotta love it. You gotta love how getting really baked just takes you straight out into the universe. Once they calm down a little bit, they get back into how movie trailers kind of ruin movies for people. I disagree a little bit, right? I think, and I don't watch a ton of movies, I sometimes think that watching the trailer is enough. I'm not gonna lie. And this is almost sacrilegious, right? But I'm gonna say it. I do like the John Wick movie. I watched the first one, I watched half of the second one. I have like really bad ADHD, so to sit and watch a movie for like 2.5 hours, it's not very easy for me. John Wick 3 came out, and I was very excited to hear about it and see what was going on and get all the, you know, info and see what people thought. People loved it. It went straight to being the number one movie in America. I watched the trailers, like the three different trailers they made, and in a fucked up way, I kind of felt like, you know what? I kind of got it. I got the gist of it. That was fun. Maybe one day I'll watch it. I don't know. But to devote that time to it, I just feel like I always got other stuff going on. No disrespect, Keanu. I love you. You're a legend. But yeah, so I'm in a different place, I think, about movie trailers. But yeah, their conversation is real chilled. I think it shows a lot about Reggie. He's a sweetheart. He's a real good listener. Also, in a weird way, he is a good comedian. I don't think he does stand-up per se, but he does like mixtures of it, and he's obviously very, very funny guy, super talented. I hope he gets back on soon. I really like the way the conversation was going, and so check it out. Guys, as always, thanks for downloading and listening and putting up with me during my cold spell and my ramblings. Follow me on Joe Rogan Experience Review on Instagram. There's another one called the JRE Review. That was like an old account and I lost the email to it, but it's the same symbol. Don't bother following that one. It has like no followers and I can't change anything anyway. And as always, I appreciate it. Keep those messages coming in. Always love to hear it back from you guys and for things to talk about and things you like and whatever. But peace.